We're standing here right now, and we're not just coming to you with our petty problems. There's some of us standing here today with significant things on our heart and our mind. But like right now, Lord, we just hold them out in front of us in our hands. We just hold them, offering them to you. The heaviness of our heart and the problems that we might be facing, we hold them out in front of us and say that we know that you see us. We're confident of that today. We know that you hear us when we pray, and you want us to get to know what you're like, to kind of fall back into the loving arms of God and get to know that you are good time and time again, that you are a God that is powerful and high above, but yet so close at the same time. So Lord, we come with open hands today, knowing that you see us, that our soul is well. It is well with my soul, because we know we're in the hands of a loving Savior. We're hiding under the cover of your wings. We are in your refuge, and we can rest in you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Speak today. Speak in your word in power, and we're ready. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Good morning. My name's Paul, and I'm the English congregation pastor, and it is my joy this morning to be bringing the word to you. And we've had an amazing worship series, haven't we? Worship, it's an acronym for many different things, and it's been amazing, where people who are either gifted or passionate about various subjects have been able to basically express very honestly and practically how these things are lived out. What a joy it has been to talk to each of these people before they give their message. And in fact, the interesting thing I found as we were constructing the series was when I went to ask the various people whether they would like to preach, it was almost like as soon as I uttered the subject matter, it was almost like they jumped on me. Yes, yes, I want to speak. I want to speak on that subject. And it was not in a proud or expert kind of look at me way. It was much more in humility. There was an overflow of the gift or the passion in their heart. And these subjects like worship and outreach and relationships and stewardship, they're on their hearts. Well, it's quite normal to think and to pray and to develop their gifts in these areas. And so for them to speak and stand here and tell us a word from God, it's very natural, and I believe it's been very helpful. Agreed? Very helpful for each of us in a different way to understand how to take steps forward, perhaps for ourselves. Next week we have a guest speaker, Kathy DeWitt, who a few of us have been getting to know. She has a great passion to see people living out their potential with Christ as the centre. Now, she's a life coach. She's been a pastor in the past, but she mainly works with women in leadership and does marriage preparation for couples. And we've asked her to preach on who I, because we've got to hit the I in worship, who I am in Christ. And the following week we have Brother Ron. Our Brother Ron White, who will be speaking on a subject very close to his heart in prayer and prophecy. And that will round up the worship series. Now, as you know, this worship series is based on Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. And that verse is, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, as we align ourselves with how God has made us, with our gifts and our passions, then as we guard and work out what has been entrusted to us, part of what Tim was talking about last week from 1 Timothy 6:20, we start to be transformed, like verse 2 says. transformed and our minds start to be renewed and we start to see more clearly what God's good and perfect will is. Who wants to know what God's good and perfect will is? I do. I want to be enveloped in it and understand it and act in it and follow. And as we align ourselves in Him, what a joy it is to be in this kind of place with God. Today, my message is titled Holidays, in brackets, rest. Holidays. Basically, as a team, we knew we needed to speak on living in a state of rest as one of the key elements of our Christian faith and as part of our true and proper worship of God. But with all the complexity of working this thing out with the acronym of worship, thank you, Pastor Kyle, for giving us this great but limiting factor of trying to work everything into an acronym and then people's dates and availabilities, all that kind of stuff. When we came to work out how am I going to squeeze this concept of rest into the letter H? And it was a bit of a challenge. I was struggling. Words starting with H for rest. Hibernation came to mind. Horizontal pause. Hammock hour. Taking an hour on the hammock. All of those sound far too sleepy. So what did I do? I went and asked ChatGPT, "Give me a list of words that start with H for rest." Heaven. Whoa. Whoa. Oh. Okay, I'll just sit down now. That's all we need. Wow. Well, ChatGPT is not that inspired, and the only answer that ChatGPT had, no matter how many times and ways I asked the question, was holidays. Well, I guess it does make sense to a certain extent. I mean, it's the best form of rest that we all kind of work really hard towards, to get a holiday. Taking a holiday by a pool in some kind of warm destination and being in your bathers, drinking a coconut on the side of a pool, I mean, that just sounds awesome. But rest is, unfortunately, well, it's not a spiritual gift, although some of us would like that kind of gift. And perhaps I'm not always the best guy to talk on rest. But I see the value of holidays, and no doubt, and I love holidays, but why am I the guy that in my 3 years of pastoring now, I've picked up the subject of Sabbath and rest and all that kind of stuff about 3 or 4 times in different messages. Why am I the guy that has happened to me? What do I know about rest? I'm a busy guy, I've got a young family, and I've got a pastoral position and a business, and some think I'm too busy, and yes, at times I am. But what I am passionate about, and what I believe aids or helps all of the gifts to function, is to be in a state of rest in the everyday throes of life. To be able to walk through life in the everyday throes of life, to just walk in a state of rest. I believe rest is less about the exclusion of all things rest and more about creating space in the normal rhythms of life to learn and experience what God is like. What's God like? If I can sit in that place, I can rest because I know Him, get to know Him, understand what He is like. What it would be like to rest while we are busy moving. Some of you may have heard the very, very deep quote, wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. I'm not sure who said it, but it expresses how you can't run away. You can't run away and rest in another place if you are not at rest internally. You might be on holidays in Tuscany or trekking in the Himalayas, ticking something off your bucket list, but it doesn't really matter where you are and what you're doing. You still carry around your own thoughts, your own feelings, your hopes, your dreams, your disappointments and your pain, your regrets. And perhaps you can escape them for a moment, yes, but they will rear their head soon enough. I remember going away for Pastor Penin's 40th birthday, and we went on a road trip to Murrimula a few years ago. I think your 50th birthday is coming around. We've got to do something like that again. We had a great time. We really did. He hired an amazing house overlooking the water in Murrimula, and it was beautiful. And I walked into this house, and I kind of stood there and just enjoying the view, breathing in the salt air, watching the boats. And then my good brother, Pastor Chi, comes up and stands next to me, as he likes to do, and in his habit of offering nuggets of wisdom at all times, he dulled my mood and he said something like, "No matter what view you're looking at, it's always seen through the lens of your current circumstances." Party pooper. Even if it was true. Someone else wise said, "Being at rest is something that happens." Being at rest is something that happens internally. It's a work that only you can do it alone with God. Being at rest is something that happens internally. It's a work that only you alone can do with God. There's nothing wrong with moving to a new place or experiencing something new. That is part of progression, and it's the thrill of starting something fresh for sure. But if you can learn to rest in God where you are, where you live now, and in all the small and seemingly insignificant but wholly beautiful things which make up your life, your days will be filled with beauty and joy. Amen? Today we're going to consider what some may consider a flow state. It's something that Pastor Kyle brought that word up, and then my son talks about it this week. It's like a flow state. A flow state of inner rest. And my hope is that we will all agree on three things: that living in a state of rest is giving priority to the inner life. Living in a state of rest is doing what he does. He meaning God. Doing what he does. And living in a state of rest is experiencing what he is like. Experiencing what God is like. That is to be living in a state of rest. I'm just going to ask that the Lord would just speak. Father God, I just thank you that you are here in this place, Lord. And in some different way, each one of us needs to hear this message, as simple as it might sound, but as profound as it is to be sitting with you, to be standing with you, and to be in a state of rest no matter what is going on around us. So, Lord, we open our hearts and our minds to you. Lord, have your way and speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So rest is giving priority to the inner life. Giving priority to the inner life. I love how Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray in Matthew 6. He has a go at the outward actions of the Pharisees, and he teaches us how he will reward us. And if we read in Matthew chapter 6 and starting verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites," the Pharisees he was referring to, "for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And like the Pharisees, if we prioritize the outer life, our inner life will be dark and very scary. In Matthew 23, verse 25, talking to the Pharisees again, and Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean." To live in a state of rest is to give priority to the development of the inner life rather than what is seen on the outside. Those focused on the outer life will not know what to do with solitude, quietness and rest with God. They will be deeply uncomfortable with any level of self-examination and struggle with reflection on themselves and God. Those who focus only on the outer appearance will neglect the inner life and they will lack integrity. Outwardly, they will need to project some kind of confidence, some kind of boldness, spiritual and emotional wholeness. I'm all together. I have it together myself. But inwardly, they will be filled with self-doubt, anxiety, self-pity, old regrets and grudges. And they will not be at rest. You and I might be successful in our careers, have the perfect looking family, or even serving God in amazing ways as far as the people see. But what you are on your knees in the secret before God, you are that and no more. The way you approach God and when you meet with Him, you are that and no more than your prayer life, the time that you come before Him in quietness and in silence. To live in a state of rest is to give priority to the inner life, to understand the real you. Look at what you spend your time thinking on when nobody is looking. In such moments, do your thoughts go to God? You may want to seem humble, but do you take steps in private confession and humbly coming before God? You may want to be perceived as happy and positive, but do you regularly thank God for everything you have and praise Him for who He is in the quiet space? If joy and humility and faithfulness isn't your state in private before God, then what you want to appear on the outside won't match what you truly are. And Tim Keller in his book refers to a friend of his who says, you can tell if a man or woman is really on speaking terms with God by the way they pray. Not that we should go around marking people on how they pray, listening to them and go, oh, he sounds like he knows God. But listen to yourself and listen to others. Is there intimacy in the way the person speaks to God? Do they speak like they know what God is like? Does their affection and their reverence overflow? Are they joyful? Are they at rest? Tim Keller also says, you can't manufacture the unmistakable note of reality that only comes from speaking not towards God, but with God. Margaret and I spent some time with a lady this week, an Iranian Christian lady. That's rare. She converted from Islam some years ago. Both of us separately said to her, quite separately, that we saw joy in her, and joy overflowing in her. And we both affirmed her of the joy that overflowed. It was nothing she said, nothing she prayed, but all about the state of rest and peace that she had while in our presence. And it said that she had the joy of the Lord in her.
Amen.
And it was beautiful. She had obviously spent time prioritizing the inner life with God. So living in a state of rest is giving priority to the inner life. Moving on to the next point. I really believe that to live in a state of rest requires a set of godly practices that you may not always feel like you want to do. Sometimes they might be totally countercultural, or even sometimes they seem submissive. But the more that you change the way you live bit by bit and do what God does, and do what he does differently and potentially unexpected things start to happen in your life. So living in a state of rest is like doing what God does. Doing what God does. Because when you begin to trust that you are in the hands of God, unbelievable things start to happen. In modern science, apparently they call this the butterfly effect, which is a term from chaos theory, which suggests that small changes in initial conditions can lead to significant change and often unpredictable outcomes over time. And modern science didn't think this up, though. Jesus shared his wisdom well before this in the parable of the mustard seed. In Matthew 13, verse 31, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and he planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. And this parable illustrates how something very small can grow into something much larger and more impactful than somebody might initially expect. So to give a really practical take on what God does, and for us to do what God does, which leads to alignment with him, which leads to a state of rest, I want to slowly read through a list that Paul created in the Bible in Romans 12, a list of ways that we can do as God does. I'm not going to unpack it. I'm just going to slowly read through the statements and allow you to kind of check yourself against these and perhaps even put this passage on the back of your toilet door. I've talked about that before with others. Put something on the back of your toilet door so you can go over and go over and go over it. And some people have done it. But how good it is to remind yourselves, how am I doing here? How am I doing here, doing what God does? Because if I do what God does, I'm going to be living in a state of rest because I'm going to be aligning myself with him and how he is. So let's look at Romans 12, and we're just going to read them through verse by verse and just pause. Romans 12 and verse 9. You may choose to close your eyes or may just choose to just rest in this space. Verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. How sincere is your love? Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. This is how God is. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Now that's a hard one. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. But leave room for God's wrath. How did you go? How do I go? This is what God does. This is the way God treats his people. This is the way we can align ourselves with God. Living in a state of rest is doing what he does. And finally, living in a state of rest is experiencing what he is like. Experiencing what he is like. And I just sense I just need to pause here for a moment and just pray. Lord, we want to know what you're like. We want to experience you at a deeper level. We want to rest in you. Thank you, Lord. Living in a state of rest is experiencing what he's like. Jesus tells us some of what he's like in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, take rest and refuge in him. Learn and experience what I am like. I am gentle and I am humble. Rest. For you don't need to strive anymore and carry this heavy load. You know, on Monday, Sim and I were praying with some dear friends for a little boy, Sam. Little boy Sam, he's 3 years old. He's got cancer throughout his body. And he's the son of a teacher in our kids' school and where Sim works. And medically, the prognosis is not good for this little boy. So the school has mobilized everyone they can to pray, and today I ask you too to keep this little boy in prayer, that there will be a healing miracle. Amen. But as we were praying on Monday night, I believe I saw a prophetic picture of how Sam and his family are holding on to God in their great struggle. And I believe it paints a picture of how God wants us to rest in him when we walk through life. So I'm going to share with you what I believe I saw, and I wrote it down as we were praying. And I believe it paints a picture of how God wants us to hold on to him. Father God is painting a picture of what he's like. It's beautiful, it's beyond comprehension. It's too majestic for words. It shows that he is gentle, he's humble, and he's kind. And he has a brush in one hand, and he's painting. But with the other hand, he is holding the hand of Aaron and Ruth and this little boy, Sam. He is painting with one hand and he's saying to them, tell them what I'm like. I'm the God of all creation, and nothing is too hard for me. Tell them what I'm like. I'm good, and I am perfect, and I'm holy, and no matter the circumstances, I am good. So no matter whether I heal or not, you know I am good. Tell them what I'm like. Tell the people what I'm like and stay connected to me. Hold my hand and trust me. No matter what, I am in control and I see this little boy. The more you hold on to me, the more I will see you. You will see and understand the beautiful picture of what I'm painting, of what I'm like. You need to know what I'm like, what my kingdom is like and what heaven is like. Stay close to me, be in the presence of the most holy, high God. In me there is peace and there is love and there is joy, and in me alone is healing and fullness of joy. Taste and see that I, the Lord, are good, and tell everyone around you what I'm like. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you invite us into this beautiful presence and you want to communicate day in and day out what you're like. And that is the only place that I am going to find rest, is by being in your presence, understanding what you're like, trusting you, trusting what you are like. And then it becomes second nature and it becomes normal, and I walk with you holding your hand day in, day out. You are beautiful beyond words. You are above all things and you are powerful. And today, as men and women of God sitting here, standing here, and we do think of Sam and Aaron and Ruth right at this point in time, we are coming before you with hands out, open, knowing that we cannot live this life kind of conjuring up a spiritual, some kind of spiritual kind of outer skin, that the work of rest is done internally. Lord, how much we desire to walk day to day in your hands in rest and perfect submission to you. Glorify yourself, Lord. Glorify yourself as we approach you. Lord, I pray that you will enable us to live in a state of rest and give priority to developing our inner life. That we would live in a state of rest and we would do what you do. Live how you live. As different as it may be to the world. And we live in a state of rest and continually experience what you are like. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're going to go into a time of worship. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come and stand here at the front, and we would love to pray with you. If you want to take that kind of step into a greater sense of rest in your life, and there's some things that are holding you back, but really, we want to pray. This is an altar for prayer for every single person here. Let's worship. He is good. Amen.